Crotchet. You're listening to Crotchet. This Crotchet podcast is originating from the Crotchet homepage at crotchet.com. Your source for news, satire, reality, and fact-free analysis. Welcome.
Welcome, and welcome to all of you. Here it is, March 2025. The world is still here, surprisingly.
Crotchet.
Folks, this is where we usually have the segment rinse and repeat, but today we want to announce something special. The campaign to bribe the president.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
Fellow citizens, global allies, and anyone within Wi-Fi range of this urgent plea, it's time we face the facts. Our current predicament, wherein a self-absorbed, entirely transactional former game show host continues to manhandle democracy like a second-rate reality TV contract, requires a fresh approach. Since appeals to morality, patriotism, and even basic literacy have failed, we must accept the obvious. This president operates solely on quid pro quo. If he won't act without personal gain, perhaps we should start treating the American presidency like the for-sale commodity he clearly believes it is. Enter our noble endeavor, the committee to bribe the president. This is not a joke. This is not satire. This is a practical, strategic effort to resolve a national crisis using the only language the man in question understands, a financial transaction. Since he treats the presidency as an ATM, why not make a withdrawal on our terms? We will raise the necessary funds through worldwide contributions, leveraging the collective frustration of over half the country and three-quarters of the globe. Once we have amassed an offer too tantalizing to refuse, we will make him a deal. Take the money and follow the Constitution, or take even more money and get the hell out. We know what motivates him. Cold, hard cash is a given, but that alone may not be enough. Our bribe package will be tailored to his deepest, most primal urges, a lifetime supply of McDonald's fries, a fake Nobel Prize inscribed with best president ever, a curated team of Russian women trained in the art of flattery, and a series of perfect phone calls scripted to ensure he is endlessly praised. If it takes building a private Mar-a-Lago in Moscow, so be it. Once our committee to bribe the president reaches its financial goal, we will present the offer publicly in a format he cannot ignore, preferably on a cable news network he still respects, or even better, maybe on Real Time with Bill Maher, a show which we know he watches. He will be faced with a choice: accept and become the world's most well-compensated exile, or reject and expose himself as a man whose greed has limits. A reality we sincerely doubt. We are calling on volunteers. If you have experience in fundraising, political operations, or merely an intense desire to see America return to a functioning democracy, we need you. The committee to bribe the president is officially open for business. It's time to put our money where his mouth is.
Listening to Crotchet.
Hey folks, this is Crotchet. Don't waste any time. Get over to crotchet.com and take a peek at the MAGA dictionary we've put together for you. It doesn't cost anything, and you'll become so enlightened by the new political knowledge you'll receive that you'll either join a protest or a monastery. Check it out at crotchet.com. That's Crotchet with a K, so see you there.
Now it's time for Letters, where baffled citizens send their burning questions about politics and culture. And Crotchet responds with all of the wit, sarcasm, and brutal honesty he can muster with his two-second attention span.
Here's a few letters that have just come in. Let's get started. Dear Crotchet, I was recently laid off from my federal job due to budget cuts. How am I supposed to trust a government that can't even keep its own employees? Signed, Frustrated in Federal Way. Dear Frustrated, the sweet irony of a government preaching job creation while handing out pink slips like party favors. Perhaps they believe in the trickle-down effect of unemployment. Trusting the mega government to keep its promises is like trusting a cat to guard your goldfish. Good luck. Here's another. Dear Crotchet, I voted Republican in the last election, but now I'm having second thoughts. Is it too late to change my mind? Signed, Regretful, no Redmond. Dear Regretful, welcome to the Club of Voters Experiencing Buyer's Remorse. Changing your mind is as American as switching cable providers when the promo rate expires. The good news is you can always change countries. And another. Dear Crotchet, my spouse, a lawmaker, has gone all in on supporting Trump. How do I cope with the constant political drama at home? Signed, Distressed in D.C., Dear Distress. A pillow talk that doubles as a political rally. How romantic. Consider investing in noise-canceling headphones and a good therapist. Remember, it's not forever, just until the next election cycle or divorce, whichever comes first. Hang in there. Finally, Dear Crotchet, as a concerned citizen, I'm baffled by the recent surge in UFO sightings. Should I be worried about an alien invasion, or is this just another distraction? Perplexed in Pasco, Dear Perplexed, given the current state of affairs, an alien invasion might be a welcome change. At least extraterrestrials might have a coherent plan. Keep watching the skies. This is Crotchet.
If you read, listen, or watch the news these days, you can see how anyone could see the world as a pretty depressing place. That's why we have the segment, One Good Thing. That's where Crotchet explores the Earth with a digital magnifying glass, looking for that one good thing. Now here's Crotchet.
Look, you know the rules. I don't like to get sentimental, and I certainly don't enjoy admitting that people occasionally do good things. It ruins my whole worldview, but every so often some overachieving do-gooder makes it impossible for me to stay cynical. So against my better judgment, here's one good thing. Let's talk about Chandler, Arizona, where, for once, something happened that didn't involve a golf cart and a midlife crisis. Instead, we got a full-on action movie moment starring Officer Brian Larrison and an off-duty firefighter, Asa Pagia. Together, they pulled a woman, Aimee Ruiz, from a burning car right before it turned into a budget Michael Bay explosion. This wasn't one of those polite, "Oh, let me open the door for you" rescues. No, Officer Larrison smashed the car's window like a true ticket-writing action hero, yanked Ruiz out, and got her to safety with Pagia's help. Meanwhile, the car, which had just collided with a cement truck, because why not add some extra drama, went up in flames. If this had been a movie, there would have been slow-motion running and a perfectly timed helicopter shot. Of course, in typical selfless fashion, neither of these guys stuck around for applause. They just did the whole, "Aw, shucks, we were just doing our jobs" routine, which honestly is infuriatingly noble of them. Can't they at least let us bask in their heroism for a second before they go back to being irresponsible public servants? But fine. Credit where it's due. For once, someone, well, two someones, did something undeniably good. And if that makes you feel warm and fuzzy, enjoy it while it lasts. Because tomorrow, I go back to being unimpressed.
Join Crotchet for a sharp, satirical dive into history's blunders, revealing their uncanny parallels with today's missteps in a segment we call Rinse and Repeat.
Appeasement, the fine British tradition of hoping dictators will behave if you just give them what they want. Neville Chamberlain practically wrote the playbook in 1938, handing Hitler a chunk of Czechoslovakia like a consolation prize at a rigged carnival. His grand strategy? If we let the madman take just this one little piece, he'll surely be satisfied. Genius move. Except Hitler took the Sudetenland, then the rest of Czechoslovakia, then went full world domination mode. Chamberlain came home waving his little paper declaring, "Peace for our time," and by our time he apparently meant about 11 months. Fast forward, and here comes Donald Trump, Chamberlain's spiritual successor, except with more hairspray and less historical awareness. While Chamberlain at least pretended to be in control, Trump has been clinging to Putin like a starstruck intern at a corporate retreat. Helsinki, back in 2018. That was Trump's Munich moment, except instead of standing up to Putin, he practically asked for an autograph. He said he didn't meddle, Trump whined, as if a former KGB agent would suddenly take up honest confession as a hobby. And then there's NATO, the one thing standing between Putin and an all-you-can-annex buffet. Trump wants out, which is like telling the neighborhood burglar exactly when you'll be leaving your front door unlocked. At this rate, his 2025 campaign slogan might as well be "Make Russia Great Again." History has a way of circling back on itself, Appeasement doesn't stop a tyrant. It just gives him time to reload. Chamberlain learned that lesson too late. The question is, will America
wake up?
This is the Crotchet Rant.
Our dear president and his faithful MAGA disciples have taken a chainsaw to the federal budget, slashing jobs, defunding agencies, and leaving a trail of wreckage so vast that even a FEMA response team, assuming they still have funding, couldn't clean it up. This new wave of so-called fiscal responsibility has been particularly brutal on the working class. Thousands have been shown the door as federal programs are gutted, tossed aside like last week's McDonald's wrappers in the back of Trump's limo. The Environmental Protection Agency, already a shell of its former self, is being hacked to the bone, ensuring that future generations will get the exciting opportunity to see the air they breathe. The Social Security Administration, a lifeline for retirees and the disabled, is now being streamlined, which is MAGA speak for, "We're cutting so much staff that good luck getting anyone on the phone before you die." Meanwhile, Medicaid, that pesky little program that helps millions of low-income Americans afford health care, is staring down the barrel of an $880 billion cut over the next decade. But don't worry, I'm sure your thoughts and prayers will cover those medical bills. Now, one might assume that if Trump and his cronies are waging war on government spending, they'd be doing it across the board. That would be the responsible thing to do, wouldn't it? Oh, but that's where you'd be mistaken, dear reader. Because while the administration is busy ripping the safety net out from under millions, there are a few, let's call them chosen, industries that are doing just fine. Take big oil, for example. You'd think that an industry that made $1 trillion in profits last year might be able to fend for itself. But no, subsidies and tax breaks continue to flow like crude from a busted pipeline. Fossil fuel companies are still enjoying billions in federal handouts because in Trump's America, if you're an oil baron wrecking the planet, the government is more than happy to pick up the tab. And then there's the defense industry, which, despite the administration's supposed obsession with cutting government waste, is still sucking on the federal teat like a Wall Street banker at an open bar. Case in point, the F-35 fighter jet. This $2 trillion boondoggle has been in development for over two decades, and yet, despite its historic ability to malfunction at the worst possible moments, the Pentagon is still throwing money at it. Cuts to Medicaid? Sure. Cuts to Social Security? You bet. Cuts to the most expensive failed warplane in history? Perish the thought. Wall Street, too, is feeling no pain. The hedge fund managers and private equity sharks continue to enjoy their precious carried interest loophole, a tax dodge so outrageous that even some Republicans have, on occasion, pretended to be ashamed of it. But fear not, while the administration is more than happy to cut food assistance for poor families, the billionaires who gamble with your retirement savings are still getting a sweet deal. And let's not forget, Big Pharma. If you thought all these budget cuts meant drug companies might have to stand on their own two feet, think again. Subsidies, tax breaks, and the eternal gift of government-protected patent monopolies keep their profit margins nice and fat. Life-saving medications remain wildly overpriced, but hey, at least their CEOs can afford another yacht. So what have we learned? Well, austerity is alive and well, but only for the little people. If you're a struggling American who relies on federal programs, sorry, your government has decided it can't afford you. But if you happen to be a fossil fuel conglomerate, a hedge fund titan, a weapons manufacturer, or a pharmaceutical giant, congratulations. The gravy train is still running, and the station is open 24/7.
Crotchet.
You've been listening to Crotchet. Be sure to visit crotchet.com for more opinions, ideas, and stories pertaining to our overly exaggerated sense of importance. Thanks for listening.
And this is how it ends.